This is CliffCentral.com.
I think Jungle, I'm just going to say it right now. Jungle's the greatest thing in music the last couple of years. Big call.
I was expecting like Jungle, big up the massive.
No, Jungle's great.
Sorry, what was that you were playing? Just for the last couple of seconds?
For the last couple of seconds.
What the Marvin Gaye and Robin Thicke sagas going on there?
No, like for the last couple of seconds, they were going from one song throwing to the next song. We played this a couple of weeks ago. It's from their other song, Casio.
That's someone's song.
It's their song. Mm-mm. Jungle are great. They're not theft.
No.
Theft merchants.
That sounds very oddly similar to something.
Well, you know what's here? Find it, and then you can start throwing allegations around Jungle.
That.
Where? From
Does
where?
No one recognize that melody?
Yes, it's from Jungle with Casio. And in the music videos, this guy's just dancing. It makes you feel happy. Like, I look at this and I think, life's actually a happy thing. Hey, Gord, like, how can you be angry when listening to Jungle? You can't.
I find this abrasive, and it makes me sad, and I wish it was over. This is the musical equivalent of an advert. I'm like, I'm just going to stick around because I don't want to miss the beginning of what happens after this.
But look at this music video.
Okay, it's people dancing like knobs.
Oh, cool. Gord.
Well, now
we know. It's not my taste. I don't try to inflict my taste on other people. It's just, I always think to myself, life must be fucking amazing for people who like or even don't mind the music on the radio. I can imagine having grown up and every time a song plays, it either doesn't bother you or you think this is great.
Yeah. No, you're right. Gord, you're right.
It's going to bug me, but if anyone knows
where
that sample's from, 0797482090.
So it's official. I'm a degenerate.
What?
Yeah.
I could have told you that. You have to get tests done. What?
Oh, hot damn.
Yeah, so I went to hospital yesterday to get an x-ray. You know, I've got this broken back, this aging ailment.
I too have old man back.
You know, I need like a bit of Jungle just to pick me up from time to time because it's just so sad. Like, I've been living in pain for the last year. I've been downplaying it a bit. You guys know my history. It's pretty just depressing. So, yeah, I went and got an x-ray, and I've got an L4, L5 discongenic spondylosis.
I got L4, L5 vibes as well. Not discongenic spondylosis,
yeah,
but I got L5, L4.
Are you being genuine?
No, I'm serious. Herniated disc L4, L5.
Yeah, see, L4 and L5, problematic.
It's pretty much safe to say that we probably have pain in more or less the same part of the back for different reasons.
Yeah, so mine, I mean, I wake up with pain. I live every single day with pain. I try so hard not to become an alcoholic. And I'm actually pretty good like that. I don't drink during the week, although all I want to do is get hammered a lot of the time. And I'm just sick and tired of this shit. So I went for an x-ray.
You could be more curmudgeonly. But
yeah.
You're not.
You're fighting
through pain.
I'm fighting the whole time.
I feel sympathy. This is why you've got to learn to love people. You never know what they're going through. I just thought you were a dick. But you're living
with
pain.
You're so right, Gord. This is why I've become more understanding because I always think of people like, that person's such a prick. Meanwhile, maybe they're living with pain. So I've been living with pain for like a year, and it's making me borderline depressed. I'm sharing a lot with you here.
I'm not trying to compare, but I know when the back pain won't go away, how fucking miserable it makes every part of your life.
Oh, and you can't do anything. Like, I love sports. I love exercising. All the different things I used to do, which made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Jungle song.
Oh, you can still do that, though. No one can take your Jungle away.
I know.
While they don't unless steal music from people.
Unless you struck, God forbid, by sudden deafness, in which case...
then it will be all over, Gord. You're right. It'll be all over for me.
Jeez,
so,
Gord.
Yeah, I've literally have been trying to manage this pain, and I try, like, I've been to various people to try to get, like, a second opinion on these kind of things and what I can do and try yoga and all this other kind of stuff. Nothing really works, okay? So, look, ultimately, we all have the worst disease in the world. It's called age. When you see an old person, you tell me that there's something gross about growing old. It's not. It's the world's worst disease. You look like a ball sack and you can do very little. So I went to this radiology department and I got onto this board and they zapped me from all different areas. So my pelvis and all these different kind of things. So I've got disc disc degeneration and disc base narrowing at the L4 and L5 level. Yeah. So, I mean, the sobering reality here is that the best is behind me now. Every single day forward is going to be basically worse and worse. That's the truth. What I do with that defines who I am as a person, obviously. But yeah, it's like if you see someone today and they just seem angry, just unpleasant, unsavory, there's a very good chance there could just be something wrong with them. And this is why they are the way they are.
How does this manifest into your daily life? Can you not... Shit. Okay, never mind then. Can you not sit down for a long period of time?
So this
do you need extra cushions now?
No, so it's like, I don't have piles. Just gonna stop it.
Then I don't know.
Basically, right? Sitting down is what makes us bad, okay? So I need to walk around. I need to move the whole time. If I'm not moving, then basically I'm just stagnating and it hurts like hell.
Do you need one of those standing desks now?
No, I need to be paid for walking. My new career needs to be walking.
Mm.
So if I can get that, then I'll be fine. Then I can get through a day. But if I've got to sit down for any length of time, as in like a radio show, a long car commute, a meeting, whatever, it's sore as hell.
It's so sore. Like, you don't realize how many... Do you get the one where no matter what position you put yourself in, it doesn't go away? Like, you think instinctively that...
That's the last 6 months.
Think instinctively that you got to, like, move your ass a bit to the left or sit a bit straighter or shift forward or shift back. And then you go through the agonizing pain of moving. And then you're like, oh, wait, changing position. Because, like, when you're stiff or you're sore, you've got, like, I don't know, a cramp or a whatever.
Right.
Your body kind of has, like, a little way of saying, okay, like, you're uncomfortable, shift a bit left. And it normally kind of knows what it's talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you got back pain, you shift to try find the comfy spot that makes the pain go away. But then the shifting really hurts and it doesn't help. I also had sciatica. And sort of, I don't know if ironic is the correct word, but sort of... cruelly, from a universe perspective, the better shape I'm in, the more my sciatica acts up. So, like, my weight's always changing, as you guys well know. I'm up and I'm down, and it's constantly. You could not see me for a year and not fucking recognize me, for good or bad. But the better shape I'm in, and physically the healthier I am overall, the worse my sciatica gets, because you get a bit taller.
Sciatica?
Your spine, the nerves that run down your spine, your mm-hmm. spinal cord, when it gets to like your tailbone, it splits into two and then they go down your leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the sciatic nerves are like your spine splitting into two and going, wraps around your leg and gets to your big toe.
Oof.
And that nerve gets pulled, stretched like it's not long enough. And you get this, like, I can't explain it. It's not even really, it's pain. It's definitely pain, but it's not like traditional pain like you know it. It feels like you constantly have like evil electricity running through your leg that shouldn't be there. So all that shit is horrible. And I'm sorry that you're dealing with this shit, Ben, because it really is bloody horrible. And anyone that's dealing with back pain, it's a fuck show.
Well, that's just it. Like, you try and manage things. So this is part of the journey, like, you find in life. You got to make things stronger. You got to be stronger in the head, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, all these things are very annoying. But it's nice to get confirmation, I guess.
Oh, so, like, know what the problem is as opposed to wondering what it, you know.
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. Like, when things become so dreadful for you in your own mind, and we've spoken about depression many times in the show, you will find any kind of new thing to be something else you can maybe fixate on rather than the thing that you were fixating on that was making you upset.
Okay.
Like that blows my mind. But then again, that's what you got to do. You got to keep moving with these kind of things.
Well, I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I got to get in terms of old man problems, I got to get a camera stuck up my ass soon. So that's going to be rad.
You're getting paid.
Hopefully they don't use a DSLR 75-300.
It's something scientific. Yeah. It's not just a GoPro.
No, I just got like this. I got like, I've never had like stomach pain issues of any
note. Of course, because recently you were dying again.
Yeah, dude. Like, I mean, I've had like two instances of a really sore stomach in the last like 6 weeks. One that lasted about 15 minutes. And then as I was going to take myself to the hospital, it went away and I fell asleep. And I went to the doctor and spoke about it anyway. And then another one where like it started in the morning on Thursday. So almost 1 week ago, 6 days ago, it started in the morning. I went to work
and like left at lunchtime, and by 3 o'clock I was like doubled over in fucking agony, and I was on painkillers and antibiotics, and today's my last day of antibiotics. And anyone who's heard me bitch about it before will know I'm really hesitant to take antibiotics, and yet I find myself after years of hardly of not taking any, having I find myself so having much. To take it like 3 times in the last year. And yeah, I mean, it could be a number of innocuous things. The blood tests didn't reveal any of the like markers for shit that gives them red flags to panic. But at my age, you know, if you've had like 2 instances of sore stomach that can't be explained, they must camera the bum. And so I'm very excited about the bum cameraing, and also the fact that medical aid probably won't pay for it because it won't be done as like an emergency treatment in hospital. It'll be investigative.
When they have to CTB, that's when it's...
But can you imagine being the cameraman whose day you're like, oh, I'm a bum cameraman. That's what I do for a living. I made the wrong choice. I should have studied harder at doctoring so that I didn't have to do bum doctoring. There was more space in like doctoring.
But it's the person
that
administers.
And then I walk in and you're like... please don't be here for bum doctoring. Please just be here. Please be a delivery oak. And you're like, hello, my doctor sent me to see you for a bit of bum camera. How's your bum camera? Because it's going in.
You haven't booked it yet.
No, I'm waiting for my doctor I spoke to the day before yesterday to pass me on the details of the gastrointestinal specialist.
Because
to go see.
I heard the preparation is quite intense beforehand.
For a bum doctoring?
Yeah.
God.
Well, I should study hope
no,
so.
No. I'm not. Okay, sorry.
I'm excited to hear from Sia what goes into preparing for bum insertions.
Let's move past the obvious joke.
God, that was crude.
You like cameraing things. He's a photography enthusiast.
Oh, sure. Of course. Call me Annie Leibovitz.
So talk to me about prep.
This conversation is so delicately poisoned, going really badly or just innocuous again. Let's just move on.
How's the weather?
Okay, so what, you got to eat like soup or something?
No, I heard you don't eat for a full day before.
Okay, I can handle that.
Yeah.
They're a bit antsy. And
that's like standard operation.
I'll be a bit hangry by the end of it, but I'll be okay.
But the silver lining is I really did hear that the drugs are amazing.
For bum camera?
Yes.
Are they going to put me under? Don't I just have to bite down on something and watch a Tom Cruise movie from his early years?
I don't know. But I just heard you are sedated somewhat. And I didn't ask my dad because this much.
These details you don't get into.
Look, it could have been an amazing bonding experience. But when he went for a colonoscopy, he was out of it for a good day and some bit. Out of it in a good way.
If you're getting a lens up your...
Yeah, and it's not just your colon. It has to go
I don't
upright.
Think they're going to sweet talk it into you. You're going to be sedated. I don't think there's going to be dimming lights. You will be put under.
The music of jungle.
You're not going to have jungle in the background with a Merlot next to you.
But my dad had...
just one more time.
Okay, everyone. press record.
We'll be editing all of this. Today's short podcast brought to you by the shit we just had to edit out that Gord said.
I know, I forgot the micro SD card. Pull it out again.
I forgot the SD card's full. Get the other bum camera.
So, getting away from our souls to another one. If you are If you're a Gautrain passenger, apparently there's a bit of a stalker on the go. Terrible story, but it's more like a public service announcement. That some guy who was a committed sex pest and a bit of a serial offender on this front. This guy, he was charged back in 1992, but apparently he's been surfaced again, and he's operating on the Gautrain, I think also between the Pretoria side to Sandton. Mm-mm. And a few ladies have come forward saying that this guy has been, it's the same guy, they recognize him. Gautrain are not really helping as far as what they're doing to avoid this kind of stuff happening in future. But there's a genuine sex pest on the Gautrain.
Like, what kind of pestering are we talking about?
So he's obviously he follows women.
Oh God!
As they arrive at the stations, he walks around with them. He like nudges up to close to them on the train itself when they're getting in and out, and he even follows them to their cars.
Mm-mm.
But apparently he's getting more and more brazen with how he's going about this. And if you just join the dots, I mean, we all know it can happen here. So be on the lookout for creepy men staring at you on the Gautrain. And also be on the lookout for creepy men staring at women on the Gautrain and maybe intervene or do something, or at least be mindful of this kind of stuff. Because we all are in society together, And we can't just think that one sex pest is now going to terrorize everybody. We should always just look out for this kind of unsavory behavior in all ways.
Yeah, just tune people if you see them doing shit. Like,
yeah, call them out.
I know confrontation is lots of people's like worst idea of anything, and like, but you have a responsibility. Like, if someone is being clearly beaten up by someone that's physically overwhelming them, and it's clearly like some form of assault, like, yes, it's scary. But you got to go and get involved. You got to go help the person who's helpless. It's exactly the same when dudes are being total asshole shitheads. You need to, even if it's scary and uncomfortable, and even if you're worried that you're going to also have to take a punch in the name of goodness, like an Avenger, we got to teach kids as well. It's like, yes, you know, it's scary to get involved in some shit. But if you see a guy being a puss as a good guy, it's your job to tune them, because then it will happen all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. You see, all of these new opportunities also just bring up opportunities for nasty people. You know, a while ago, I watched a documentary on weird people. Okay, let me not deem them weird. People with rather weird fetishes. And one of the people who was highlighted in this documentary had been arrested several times because he had this weird fetish and loved getting off on being able to rub up against people in the subway. And you think of, look, now more and more people are using the hot drain. What if we have people like this as well around us? It's just nasty. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And like, anyway.
Well, talking about similarly then, about people just being able to voice their opinions when they see something wrong. Do you think an app like this would do us good in South Africa? It's an app called Citizen. Have you heard of it by any chance?
I have not.
Isn't that Finney Lingham?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Jeez, that's good research, the story you're about to share with us.
I can neither confirm nor deny. On the same
premise. Do carry on with the headline you just plucked out of nowhere.
So. No, but on the same premise, I think it's quite interesting. Similarly to the app Waze, where Waze, as a user, you can auto-update on where you see traffic or where you see any instances on the road. Citizen is an app that's now gaining positive traction because of what it can do. So in its simple description, it's an app where you as a user are able to update other citizens based on any real-time crime or any real-time horrific events that you're seeing unfolding in front of you. So you imagine in a very practical sense, you're at the Gautrain station and you see this random weirdo who is lurking. You're able to auto-update and say, look, weirdo alert in the Gautrain Sandton station. And anyone who has the app now gets an alert on their phone should they be near the area. So it also uses some geo-navigating as well. And I think it is really, really
but
awesome.
But like hashtag me too, you know, occasionally you're going to get people who are going to use it vindictively and are going to use it maliciously. Yeah. And you're going to weirdo tag someone just because they didn't do some shit you told them.
I was thinking about that, but that's why I use the Waze comparison. You know, no one has abused Waze to a point where we really have taken notice. Maybe some people have abused it, but we don't know. But I think for something like this, maybe it might be naive, but I just have hope in people being greater and using it for good. So the app was launched back in 2016, and look at what it's been able to do just in the past couple of years. So remember that big evacuation that had to be had at CNN's headquarters in December of last year, where there was that alleged bomb attack? People were using the app Citizen to literally track, like, okay, allegedly the bomb is here on this floor, rather use those other stairs to leave the building. And even authorities were able to now use the app to guide everyone safely out of the building. There was also that truck attack in New York back in October of last year. Citizen was able to help people out there. During a fire last year in Trump Tower, there were 34 users who were able to help people get out of that building as well while it was full on in flames. And also that horrific shooting at the YouTube headquarters, also that happened last in April. People were able to live stream, they were able to auto update, like, don't use that corridor, move down that exit. So I really do think, you know, this would have great merit in our society, and particularly in South Africa.
The last thing I'm thinking, like, when there's some chaotic shit going on and someone's machine gunning in the next room, is like, right, check the social media. Like, not to say that I'm being cynical about the fact that this stuff can help. It's just like, whose first instinct when you're under a table and you're hearing the gunshots get closer and closer as the guy goes room to room is like, let me see what the internet suggests to do right now.
Yeah, I hear you. It's hard not to sound cynical when you say that.
Yeah, I mean, I know
that.
It comes off cynical. But I'm just saying, like, to actually outwardly communicate seems obvious. And, okay, everyone, like, he's not here, he's there, go down this way. But I'm like, who's on...
But when you have no hope, when you think about the fact that you could possibly be stuck underneath a desk.
Yeah.
And you can't see anyone. You don't know what's happening. You're just hearing gunshots.
You also might get your phone out to be like, help me, please. And then there's that information. So, yeah, I get it.
Mm. Well, look, it's also going back to what you're saying, Gord, like, be more of an active citizen. That's what it always comes down to. Like, if I look at my office WhatsApp group this morning, a message saying, sorry, I'm going to be late. A car in front of me got robbed at gunpoint. Oh, people got out to help and pretty much stopped traffic.
Jeez.
So, I mean, look, shit's happening all over the place. I think if people become more vigilant to this
stuff...
Do you
know what area that was?
No. See, that's why we need the app.
Yeah.
Because the app would have geotagged.
Because, I mean, I know I'm generally late, but there was, like, exceptionally high levels of traffic on Witkoppen that isn't normally there at this time of the day. And I always wonder, like, I don't take traffic personally because it's part of life. Anyone that's always furious because there's traffic when they drive home that's there every day, like, that's life. But my problem is the unpredictability of it. Like, something can go wrong. A car pulled over, a car broken down, a robot that's out, and it can, like, triple your travel time. And you just can't see that coming. But I always, when I'm stuck in a bit of traffic, look for what the cause is. Like, which robot's going to be out? Where's there an accident? Where's there a roadblock? But when you get through it and there's nothing... It's just normal, but the cars weren't going. I always, like, infuriates me to wonder what might have happened. So I just thought maybe that horrible shit you just described might have happened near where I was. Because you always wonder what the fuck's happened to cause the traffic.
Yeah, Gord. And then it's a double over effect, like a butterfly effect towards the rest of your day.
Also, like, again, I don't understand why as soon as it's raining, everybody thinks they have right of way all the time. It's like, here's how to adapt your driving when it rains. Do everything exactly the same way, just go a bit slower. Cool. That's it. All other rules remain the same. You still have right of way or not in the same way as you always would. You don't always get to now go through the robot, no matter whether it's green, yellow, or red.
Yeah, exactly. We're about to talk to, is it Pauline or Paulina Solomons? CS getting on the line right now. Another story that we touched on, I think it was on Monday, was when, before we get to Paulina, the Jaguar that was defending itself from that crazed woman trying to take a selfie. Well, it won't be put down. So often in these cases, when a wild animal attacks a human, the animal for some reason gets put down and not the human. I think this woman should have been put down, but that's obviously for a different discussion. But it's not going to happen. So the Jaguar will keep living its life of imprisonment in the Wildlife World Zoo near Phoenix, Arizona. So if you want to go and send out a shout out or just be nice to an animal, you can go to the one in Phoenix and congratulate the Jaguar. Showing this woman that she is very insignificant. And hopefully she'll never leave the house again.
Find myself in Phoenix, I'm going to go pat that Jaguar. In an unnatural way, I'm going to go harass it and take a selfie. Ironically, now thousands and thousands of people visiting this facility will take selfies with the Jaguar.
But it's funny how these zoos, obviously they've got to try to be like very PC. They say, we regret to inform you that this evening, before closing, there was an incident reported involving a guest who crossed over the barrier to get a photo, according to eyewitnesses. Gosh, that's a long sentence. The visitor sustained non-life-threatening injuries to their arm from one of the female jaguars. At the request of the family, paramedics were called. At the request of the family? So you guys weren't going to do anything?
Oh,
until
goodness.
The family said, hi, doctor, please. Oh, okay, cool, we'll call. At no time was the animal out of its enclosure, so it's innocent. The incident has been fully investigated.
Stupid people do stupid things. That's what I always believe.
All right, so are we going to the phones?
Yes.
It's Pauline or Paulina?
Pauline.
Pauline. Your handwriting is atrocious.
It's Pauline Solomon from the Children's Hospital Trust. And this is why I think it's important for us to chat to them this morning. Do you know that Africa, as much as we face a lot of issues, by 2050, nearly half of the world's population will be in Africa? And you think about the fact that if we are planning for the future, well, then the future of the world's hands is in the hands of young people. So all children will need to access the likes of quality and affordable healthcare, and the Children's Hospital Trust is working at doing that. So I just thought we should highlight them this morning and find out more about what they're doing. So good morning, Pauline.
Good morning, Thea.
Well, thank you so much for making some time to chat to us. And then you have launched a very exciting campaign this week. You just launched it yesterday,
Yesterday.
So before we get into the campaign, can you let us know more about the Children's Hospital Trust?
Well, the Children's Hospital Trust was established in 1994, and it's official fundraiser of the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. And I think we can proudly say that we assist the hospital to upgrade its buildings and equipment and develop its professional staff. And one of our ethos is 100% of all donations goes directly to the hospital and its priority projects. Not a single cent is spent on our administration costs.
Wow. And I heard just with that, you have had over, in particular, one of your beneficiaries, the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. You've had over 250,000 visits to the hospital last year alone.
And a lot of these patients that come through our door is younger than the age, a third of them is younger than the age of a year old. And most of them come from the poor and marginalized areas in around Cape Town, not just Cape Town, but outside of Cape Town too, the rest of the province, and even far field as the rest of Africa.
So there are definite obvious avenues that the money will go into, or rather the money that you raise goes into. But where can you let us know more about that? What does the money go into, and what is the work that the trust does for the hospital?
The challenges that we are facing.
Yes.
You know, every year, the number of children that the hospital see grows exponentially. And with all the will in the world, the government cannot fund the needs of the hospital. So the trust has been challenged to raise funds, and now we need to raise $150 million over the next 2 years for priority projects. And I can just mention it, the building and the upgrade of our emergency center. We've got a program, the Breathe Easy Tracheostomy and Ventilation Home Care Program that we run, our social work child protection program, the weekend waiting list for children that perform surgeries over the weekend, that's on long waiting list. We also have one of the programs, RX Radio, and another program that we're proud of is the African Pediatric Fellowship Program that trains doctors and nurses from the rest of Africa. And then also, as I mentioned, the Child Nurses Development Initiative. But there's such a lot that people can contribute to and get involved to.
Right.
And I'm excited about them getting involved to support us, because it's all about the children.
Well, I really do think the obvious here is no one ever wants to find themselves in ill health, and more especially children to be sick and to need help. I just can't imagine how horrible that is. So anything that we can do to help would be great. So you have quite a large task ahead of you to raise 150 million rands in the next 2 years. But I do have faith that we can all band up and help where we can, wherever we can, however we can. So how can we do that? Is there a website we can go and get more information on?
This website, our listeners could just, or your listeners could just go and visit our website, which is www.thechildrenshospitaltrust.org.za. Or they could phone us at our offices. Is it okay if I give the telephone number?
Sure.
At 021-686-7860. And on the website, there will be, if they click on donate, they will give you drop downs of our EFT, our banking details, SMS numbers, SNAP scan, any way that you can donate.
Well, awesome.
If you have a struggle, just contact us and we will refer you.
Well, thank you so much. You are doing incredible work. The Children's Hospital Trust has been running since 1994, and it all just relies on donors and to just reach its aims and objectives. And they have a major, major one coming up over the next 2 years to raise up 150 million rands in the next 2 years for the hospital and to continue doing the amazing work that you're doing. So thank you so much for chatting to us, Pauline.
It's a pleasure. And thank you, Sia, for giving us the opportunity and just to challenge your listeners to leave the mark on life and help us supporting this campaign, because together we can do it. And it is all for the children.
Perfect. It's quite a goodie to know of such and to be able to help wherever we can.
But a tremendously strong finishing line there, because it is about the children, because it's a next generation thing.
Yeah. And because they done nothing to bloody deserve, like, you know, you were talking earlier, crap parents. Like, the kids don't ever put themselves in shit positions.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what age you start being responsible for your own actions, but it's damn sure not when you're little and there's nothing going for you.
And so you're stuck in a hospital
bed. If
you're
going to help anyone, anywhere, you help the little ones.
Yeah, damn right, good. We've got another guest that'll be on the show with us soon. Hi, Rob from Amsterdam. You know, he's a bit of a regular that's been on with us from the start. Well, when I say from the start, I think when he stumbled upon us one morning after a bit of a jaw. I think Rob's probably been on this show with us for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe that long. Before we get into that, though, Men in Black.
The new one with Chris Hemsworth.
Were you ever a fan of Men in Black?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the first one and the third one. I thought the second one was a bit of a cuck one.
Okay. Well, there's a fourth one.
Yeah, I'm amped.
The universe has a way of leading you to where you're supposed to be at the moment you're supposed to be there.
Let's do this.
It took me 20 years to find you. How many people can say that? You are the best kept secret in the universe. And I found you, which makes me perfect for this job.
You really think a black suit is going to solve all your problems?
No, but looks damn good on you. Oh, snap! Oh,
snap! Wow, this looks saucy. Now, the first thing you'll pick up there, none of those voices were of Will Smith.
No.
So he won't be in it.
No.
But they've got an all-star cast. Liam Neeson's in it.
Now, yeah, no Josh Brolin and no cool old guy that was also in the first two. And third.
Yes. Now, Liam Neeson obviously been quite controversial this year. So, interesting to see.
Is he going
to
be a man in white?
Well, it's just one of those things. One of those things, Gord, because, you know, you get vilified and then you don't come back. But they've got Thor, which is a big call.
And he's a handsome bastard.
And Tessa Thompson, who's very cool. Look, as much as I'm not really into these movies that then create many, many sequels, this one looks like it's got a real James Bond tinge to it.
It's a cool little universe they've created. I mean, like, you know, once you're in that, like, comic book world of the Men in Black, it's about going script to script. You could make 100 good ones or 5 crap ones. It's about the individual scripts. That's why I thought the second one was a bit like it was a rushed cash in, but the third one was bloody great with Josh Brolin where they time travel.
But look, this fourth one looks like, just judging by this trailer, there's a lot going on here. Because let's be honest, James Bond made big movies, right? Big movies, cool and sexy, and it was like all about that. Now, all these other movies have picked up on that over the last few decades. And now, I mean, like, Kingsman.
First one was so good. Second one was so shit. We spoke about this last time.
Yeah, spoke last week. But there's those elements. And now with Men in Black, it's not just about the sci-fi and the alien creatures and stuff.
Although there is that,
there's so much more to it. And they've got Thor.
Yeah, he's so handsome, Chris Hemsworth. His brother too. The other one, Hemsworth Light.
Well, the thing is that Chris Hemsworth is so handsome, you don't even notice his brother. That's why he had to
marry
Miley Cyrus.
You notice his brother, but not when Chris Hemsworth is also there. I watched Alita Battle Angel and I watched Captain Marvel in the last week. And I enjoyed Captain Marvel. I thought it was pretty bang average. If you like Marvel movies, it's a good enough one. If you're into the whole MCU thing.
Is that
thing,
the one with Brie?
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson.
It's not bad. It felt to me like it was also a little bit overhyped. I think that's to do with the fact that the hype started early because it's the Easter egg at the end of Infinity Wars is to do with it. And there's some bullshit political shit that I haven't been paying attention about. A feminist agenda in Hollywood because after Wonder Woman, it's like we have 47 male superheroes and now there's a female one. Feminist agenda. But so I think some of that stuff counted against it. But it's a good movie. It's fine and it's worth watching. But Alita: Battle Angel, which was produced by James Cameron and directed by Robert Rodriguez and based on a manga called Gundam, is fucking awesome. It is mind-blowing. Go watch it on IMAX or in an expensive 3D cinema because it rules.
All right. So you get all that, Rob?
Yeah, I know. It was fucking hilarious.
Rob, are you, bro?
Are you, bro? My back's fucked, eh?
All of us.
Yeah, I know. This is the story of today, hey, Rob.
No, Ben, dude, I need to speak to you, bro. Like, I fall downstairs at this stall.
Yeah, fuck.
But, dude, like my lower back, it's gone, bro. It's fucked.
Do you have L5 discogenic spondylolisthesis?
I fucking think so, bro.
Or perhaps an L4 herniated bulging disc.
Dude, I can't even get out of bed. I'm not joking. Seriously, I'm down here.
But that is quite bad because unlike Gordon and I, you're actually quite young.
Yeah, so, and you're handsome and fit and all those things.
Okay, Gordon, well, settle down. I know,
but what do you
recommend? People can't see what he looks like listening to him on the radio. Hi, Rob's a good-looking, strapping, handsome young man.
Please put your hands on the desk when you say that.
They might be imagining completely the wrong thing. You can't tell based on his voice what he looks like.
Like some terrible old guy at the cooking out in bed.
Yeah, bald fat dude sitting there rubbing his back going, oh, I'm fucking fucked. But you're actually quite an athletic chap.
Rob, look,
I don't know.
Look, I would generally say that you'll definitely bounce back. Is it really sore when you wake up? Does it get better from there?
Dude, I can't even move, bro. I'm in bed, like sprawling around like a fucking chicken.
A lot of people call bullshit on chiropractic and call it a pseudoscience. I'm like, if you can get doctorates in things from universities, it's probably a science. But I swear by it. My chiropractor is what gets me moving. Go see a chiropractor is my advice because I can't walk sometimes and then I see a chiropractor and then I can. And other people be like, chiropractor is bullshit. And I'm like, well, I couldn't walk yesterday and I can walk today, so thanks. Yeah.
Look, it's probably your best port of call because you just had an accident, essentially. You know, like with me, it's degenerative. With you, you just fell. So,
I don't know, it's just like I thought, you know, I'd wake up the next morning and be like, cool, bro, that was funny, but haha. But I was like, couldn't even... Like moving around in beds, even like sore, dude. It's like
How hard did you fall? Just dude, like you might. I mean, I hope not, but you might have actually injured yourself. So, you know, if you took a proper fall and it's only getting worse, go and see some sort of doctor because you know back stuff is not stuff to fuck about with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, dude. The back's a serious business, dude. But I'm gonna check it out. But like, I can still like walk. But anyway, it's just annoying.
Do you walk like you have a cold golf club up your bum?
Is that what you reckon?
That's how I walk when I've got my back sore. It's like this. I'm so upright, I'm bent backwards.
Someone's got a frosty seminar up your nose.
You're on your tiptoes and you arch backwards and you're walking like you got a cold golf club all the way up your ass.
So, I'm just like, but how can that even be painful? I'm not even doing anything.
But Rob, so moving on from your ailments, of which you've had plenty. I mean, you broke your ribs in December, Jan, as well. So you've been a bit of a disaster of late.
Was that also a jaw-related injury?
Well,
or JRI?
That was a cave-related injury.
That's still a jaw. Yeah, you were in a cave taking mushrooms. You were still jawing. And unfortunately with Rob, it's always a jaw-related injury.
Well, Rob's whole life is a jaw.
Exactly. But Rob, is it true that Gord might be staying with you on in an upcoming trip?
Yeah, bro. Gord's definitely welcome to come stay at my place. No stress, bro. I got it all hooked up here. I just hope my back's ready by then, but I'm pretty sure it'll be up and running.
I'll rub it if it's not.
We can have a fucking jaw here, dude.
Yeah,
seriously.
Dude. June, I'm amped. You're going to see
bro,
me.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Just come over for like a couple of days?
Yeah, like 5-6 days. I'm bringing a homie, so we might not be able to stay with you the whole time. But we're going to go watch Metallica and Ghost, and then we're going to let you show us the rest of the Jewel. So you must show us all the things.
Yo, bro, we can go very dark. Eh?
We got like one night that we've got stuff on, and then five nights where we can like do, as long as we can survive it, we're up for it. Just okay, don't cool, fucking bro. Kill yeah, me. I'm old. Dark, I can't go as hard as you.
I don't know what depths you can go.
Let's also go light. Like, it doesn't have to be dark. Like, we can do fun outdoorsy shit in the sunshine. I'll take a bag of mushrooms and go and, like, look at some nature. We don't have to, like, inject ourselves with pool chemicals and then see if we can survive.
Go, like, full chem. Just like twilight hours.
Yeah. Love you, Rob.
Gordon Rob in Amsterdam.
Yeah, dude, we'll going take videos.
Light. Going light.
I'm still waiting for you to come to Amsterdam, bro.
Yeah, I know. So am I, Rob. So am I. Like, I've done absolutely bugger all the last 2 years, travel-wise, which has been very depressing.
I've checked there's even some sick golf courses here.
Yeah, look, if I want to come to Amsterdam, I'm not going to be playing golf. You know, like, I love.
I know, bro. Like, I just try to lure you here. In the
or
golf
one, bar. Maybe. Surely, like, dedicate no. one day to one golf club and say you've played golf in
no,
country.
Because, like, that's the thing about golf. Like, do golf for golf reasons. Don't do golf as, like, a strap on, you know?
Ooh.
Like, something that you really
don't
love.
Don't do it as a strap on.
You mustn't just give, like, token kind of appreciation to it. Like, oh, well, while I'm there, I'll just go play because I'm not traveling with my golf clubs just for one round of golf. I mean, that's just stupid. And don't
you
tell
can't,
me.
Like, borrow a homie's
don't tell
clubs.
Me to rent or borrow. That's, like, saying hi. That's
stupid. You don't
stupid.
Touch another man's golf club,
I mean,
Gord.
I mean, that's kind of like, that's kind of like saying in the afternoon, oh, can I just wear your jocks for the rest of the day?
Because it might be his bum club for when he's got back problems.
But Robert, how are things going otherwise on the Jewel? I mean, obviously work's going pretty well. I mean, how's
it's
the love life looking?
Bro, I'm just trying to survive out here. Like, I recently tried to get a girlfriend, but my debaucherous lifestyle from last year caught up with me. And like, I realized Amsterdam's actually smaller than I foresaw. And yeah, dude, it's kind of fucked me around a bit.
Are you
so
getting a rip? For being a bit
of
a man.
Dude, I thought I escaped it in Cape Town, but apparently not, dude. My rep has been catching up with me in Amsterdam, and like, I met this really cool doll, and then she was like, oh, okay, things are going really well. And then she actually, one of her friends knew my exes, and then like, they traded secrets, and I was just like, she was like, Rob, just not about that lifestyle, oh, drop
yeah.
mic.
And she's like cool. Robert, I really like you, but I saw you cooking out in the canals last week, and I just don't want to be part of that.
Like, yeah, I heard you're a bit of a reckless kind, so I'm just going to have to take it down a notch, and we'll do this maybe again sometime
soon.
So
the problem wasn't the problem wasn't about the fact that there have been other Bettys. It was more about the fact that you're like a walking, like you're like a walking trans festival.
Yeah, well, it's also because, like, you know, I'm not exactly, I haven't had the best reputation in terms of keeping a consistent, lovable relationship with people I've encountered on my travels. So it's just, you know, I've got that kind of like, you probably won't last long, as in not in the bed, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no, of course not.
Seeing each other, like, you know.
Well, so you are what you are, Rob, and we think you're quite great.
Rob, yeah, exactly. Have you had any more advances on your motorbike dream travels?
Bro, I'm literally was studying it last night. It's going to happen this year. That's like my one goal this year is motorbike license. And like, that's it, dude. I've like given up some travels. I'm even not even going to as many outdoor festivals this year as I foresaw. Because the thing is, dude, I can keep doing this. I can keep going to festivals. I can keep being a loose rat. But at the end of the day, my dream is to like ride motorbikes. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to knuckle down and get it done. You know, it's just one of those things in life.
Yeah,
like, you're either doing it or you're not.
Yeah, exactly. You especially know? If you're like, your back's getting sore. I mean, that's like the first sign that you're getting on, huh? And that's,
unless you fell downstairs. I mean, it might literally, you could, Gord, if you fall downstairs and you land on your knee will be sore.
Yeah, but Gord, like back issues start when you fuck it up, like when you have an accident. Like, so this fat kid fell on me when I was playing rugby when I was like 11. And I twisted a vertebra. And that's where my sorry story starts. And that's
because of the damn fat kid, and not just because that's the nature of rugby.
But it was the fat kid, though. I mean, it was very.
I'm
going to
go
me.
Play the game where big people fall on people. Oh, the guy was fat. Maybe you were just small, Kofinski.
Yeah, I was small but nimble.
It's like a wake up call, bro. It's like I'm not like this young gun anymore. Like injuries actually injure you.
Sad though. Yeah.
That is the moment where you realize that your childhood is over. Like injuries injure me now.
Yeah, Rob, it's so sad.
That, so bad.
But like,
I don't
understand. There's like layers of realization with that kind of stuff. Like I knew I was getting on, but then like yesterday, I was like, shit. I'm not getting on. I'm already on.
Yeah, we're on, me and Ben. You're just getting on.
Yeah.
it's like I went to sleep and I was like, yeah, I'll be fine tomorrow. I couldn't even move. I was like, what's happening? I was like, this isn't right. Like,
go see a chiropractor, bro. Go see a chiropractor. If the chiropractor can't help you, he'll be able to tell you who to go see that maybe can.
Yeah, and if all else fails, Gord will give you a rub down when he gets there.
I'll see you in June for a rub down, bro. So
don't worry. Bro, that's going to be a long
go
way.
Go get some ylang ylang and aloe vera.
So if you wait till June, Gord will give you a grease down and a shiatsu.
And I'll help you with the cold golf club. Just put it in the fridge so
I'll
long.
Take anything. I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm just like, sort my shit out. I don't care which red light doctor I have to go to.
Anti-inflammatories and a chiropractor, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, Ben, for you, did it get worse? Over the days, did it just get worse or like better?
Yeah, look, it generally gets worse, and then you get to the point where you start dealing with the pain. But my sob story is I've had enough of it, let alone cheering other people with it.
Oh my goodness, bro. Okay, well, I'm just gonna have to deal with this shit, bro. It's just not cool, but like, I'm just gonna have to grit my teeth and just pretend like everything's fine, because now I've still got to live my life, bro. I've still got to go to work and shit, but it's just annoying.
Exactly.
But fuck it, dude. I'm still going to get ratchet fucked this weekend, so I don't really give a shit.
But Rob, there's also the music of Jungle, which can give you some sympathy here. I'm so obsessed with Jungle music videos. I watch them all the time. Such elaborate dance moves.
Is it a band
moves.
Called Jungle?
Yeah, it's a band called Jungle. But all their dance, like their music videos, have these elaborate dances, which might make you feel better with your bad back.
No, I'm into anything these days, bro. And this is also, have you heard of Hippie Sabotage?
Hippie Sabotage? I have not.
No, seriously. They got some mad beats and stuff. But that's also like similar to what you just played, like the Jungle shit. But yeah. And then I'm standing in my window in my boxes and like there's these people riding past in their bikes. They just know what's up, dude.
Okay.
It's morning time, dude. Oh my goodness.
Just
bro.
Keep throwing the vibe. Well, Rob, we'll check up with you soon. But yeah, as Gord says, like maybe find a chiropractor or at the very least an anti-inflammatory or just like 8 beers and I don't know.
Something. Couple rails.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. I'll handle.
Couple rails and a bong.
You can only get back on the rails with some rails sometimes.
Yeah, I'll get you back on the rails.
I'll come out there flying with the crutches, bro. Like, yeah, fuck me, dude. Yeah, no, it's cool, bro.
All right, Rob, great catching up, bud.
You're a special unit, Rob.
Okay, well, I'll keep you updated on this back. Yeah, I might just throw it away if it irritates me.
Yeah, I'm also looking for a new one. So if you can find two, maybe get a bulk deal.
I'll let you know about bulk deals, boy.
All right, Rob. Thanks, bud.
Peace, Rob.
Chat soon.
Cheers. Peace and love, y'all.
We've been neglecting the messages. Jesus, so much on the go here. Mr. Schmangles, he's got a lot to say. Gord, this is all directed at you.
Oh, God.
Please, fucking Gord, don't have kids, man. Your life will be fucked up. Those little fuckers rule your life. Shitty parents are a real thing. I'm the middle child, and my parents let me do anything I wanted to do when I was a little snot nose. They were acting so surprised to see that I'm still alive.
Oh.
And look at the wonderful job I turned out to be. I still do what the fuck I want to. Then he says, Gord, they also pump air up your ass when they're done with all the camera work. So you'll have cramps, which
great.
Will turn into one humongous fart, which I think you'll like.
Fuck, I'm looking forward to this.
It's just more on Gord's asshole. you can't eat for a day before, mm-hmm. and they give you a drink that cleans your colon out.
Oh,
you are out when the camera goes up. Best sleep you ever, ever had, though. So there's also that. Mm. Michelle says, Gord, as a potential candidate of colon cancer, which runs in my family, go for the camera.
I'm going.
You'll be a lot happier ticking your problem off the list.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm in it to win it. It's just I'm in the process of scheduling the camera. I've come to terms with it. Thanks, dudes.
Okay.
Michelle, I think anyone with this sort of thing, you should do the... you know, precautionary checks.
Yeah, on earlier, it's Sia's false allegation of plagiarism by Jungle. Michelle says, Sia, you're hearing Oprah's theme tune in the beginning of Casio.
That's what it is.
It is.
You can pick
Michelle.
Up the notes. Yeah, it's probably right.
It is. That's not all it is, but it's more of a vocal thing rather than a beat, so there's no plagiarism involved there. Oh, so many other messages. I've got to get all into these now. Sia, what's happening in the third hour?
Well, we are continuing our Fluxman's series for The Love of Law with a new interview that Gareth did with one of the lawyers, and his name is Lionel Dos Passos. Well, Lionel Dos Passos is afraid of nothing, except meeting his in-laws for the first time. He started out studying a BSc at Wits in 1996, and he majored in microbiology, genetics, and advanced biology. You're probably asking the same thing. How did he end up as a lawyer? Well, listen in to find out. He later completed his LLB with distinction, might we add, at Wits in 2001 and commenced articles at Fluxman's in 2002, soon becoming a director in 2007. Lionel's focus is litigation and insolvency and business rescue as well. He also keeps the balance with a wide range of interests and hobbies, including traveling, reading extensively, going to gym, and watching Premier League football. And of course, spending time with his family. He seems like a nice, balanced guy, doesn't he?
This guy already sounds like he's doing 73 times more than I am in life.
Exactly. Well, I didn't mean to say exactly, but...
Probably has a really good back.
And he's probably
he probably does.
But he got a great back.
That we'll agree on. Lionel does pass us for our next edition of For the Love of Law, our Flaxman series coming up at 8 o'clock today.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for Wednesday, I guess. We didn't speak about this on Monday, but as always the case, someone dies during the Cape Town cycle tour.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, right.
It's pretty sad, hey? Dr. Monty Brink unfortunately passed away, so a lot of tribute coming in for Monty.
How?
He just collapsed.
Oh, shit. That can happen to anyone who's exercising, though.
Yeah.
It's not just because it's like... dangerous to ride a fucking bicycle so fast.
Look, it is because firstly the wind was hectic this year, like really bad. The average times are way down, and it's always pretty hot, and it's a difficult race. It really is.
Yeah.
But if you die doing what you love doing. Also speaking of death, Boeing says that their 737 MAX is fine, and they got full confidence in it, despite the fact that two planes have gone down, killing lots and lots of people. So that's a developing story, and I think some airlines around the world have grounded these planes until further notice, which is a very responsible thing to do. I saw yesterday Kaluda said that they were monitoring the planes, which is
like we don't normally monitor them, but we're going to monitor them now because they crash a lot.
It's like
look, it's crashing. Good thing we were monitoring that.
It's like they said that they're going to stay vigilant.
Guys, watch the plane. If it starts to crash. Just let someone know.
Just let someone know. And we're doing our job there.
Guys, plane's crashing. Oh, thanks for monitoring that for us, Ned.
So I wish you all the best in air travel right now. And Friday, I'll be back. But tomorrow, Sia is here.
Mm-hmm.
With?
Pumian Kanthan for the Thursday edition of The Burning Platform.
What a day that's going to be.
Yebo.
And Gord will be back next Wednesday, health depending.
Yeah.
With an asterisk.
Well, he's getting a camera shut up his ass.
Wednesday's my day that I can do that sort of thing. So I actually thought I might be going today, but it just didn't get organized by my GP in time. So,
So
I'll see you Wednesday. I mean, rather you'll hear from me on Wednesday. I'm old. We've back problems, throaty coughs, bum cameras, all that good shit.
Yeah, so if you don't see Gord, or if you sort of find out if Gord's still alive, which is always a healthy thing, we're looking to monitor Gord.
I will be.
Kalula.
Yeah, just I'll have Kalula monitoring my bum, and I'll be letting you guys know play by play as it goes in. I'm asking to not have the anesthetic, so
yeah. Why would never mind? No, no, just never mind.
I want to feel, I want to be present.
Bye,
in the
Gord.
Moment.
Happy Wednesday.
All right, but if you want to find out more about Gord, go on his Instagram account at Gord Laws, and you'll see he always takes really nice pictures of us in the studio.
Thanks. I'm glad you like them.
Do you have a filter which makes the quality become shitter?
It's just what you look like, Ben.
I was talking more about you, but yeah.
Okay. Well, that's also just what I look like. Sorry.
Anyway, that is Wednesday here. We're going to finish off with...
a quick insult at Gord's photography for no apparent reason.
Wow.
This is CliffCentral.com.